Hey, Gad, everybody, this is Pinky of Pinky and the Brain, the real star of the show. And you are listening to the 8-Bit Geek Podcast, the only thing that Brain and I listen to when we're back in the lab. And you know that clearly has inspired Brain to take over the world. So between you and me, the 8-Bit Geek Podcast is bound to take over the world. So if I were you, I would continue listening because you don't want these guys to leave you behind. Oh, and one more thing.
Narf! We're sitting here with John Bailey, who is most famous for Honest Trailers by Screen Junkies, but a lot of people, of course, would know you for many other things, just not by name. Is that correct?
Pretty accurate. Yeah, I'm most publicly known for Honest Trailers.
Okay.
But behind the scenes, I'm known for like a whole bunch of other stuff.
And what's some of the major things that you have done?
Oh, let's see. I've done entire campaigns for movies like Smurfs, Smurfs 2. What was the one with the boobies? Friends with Benefits. I did the campaign for that. I did one of the campaigns for Machete. Yeah, I've done over 100 trailers, movie trailers, and promos for all kinds of stuff. I did a lot of promos for Community and Network stuff, for promos for them.
Nice.
NBC, and also for Breaking Bad, which I'm also a huge fan of, which is awesome. And yeah, so
what did you do for Breaking Bad? I'm curious.
Breaking Bad, the complete series. I did a lot of the Blu-rays.
Wow.
I did their. In fact, they have two of the spots that I worked on played during the series finales of both Breaking Bad and Talking Bad, which was like, whoa, you know how many people heard me just now? That's pretty awesome.
Is it weird to hear your own voice?
I even met RG Mitty at Comic-Con this year, and he's a huge fan. And when he found out that I worked on Breaking Bad, he exploded. It was awesome. And I've also worked on a multi-award winning game called XCOM. This is a franchise called XCOM. Enemy Unknown, Enemy Within, and DLCs and things. And he's also a huge fan of that. He's like, oh, I know you are. I hate you. Because I'm the guy who tells you how badly you play the game. I've also been the announcer for several Steam games, as well as several characters for a lot of Steam games. And, yeah, I've done audiobooks. I've done voices for toys. One of my favorite things that I did was back when I first got started with some Star Wars stuff.
I'm moving to attack position.
Yeah, so I did a bunch of those things.
No,
I
did
a lot of the commercials for Star Wars back then. And yeah, the list goes on and on. Documentary narration, a little bit of everything. And most of the work I do now, like 80% of the work I do now, is not really trailers anymore. It's all voice matching, which is ADR, which is you replace or add to a dialogue in a trailer or a show or a movie or whatever for another actor who they can't get a hold of or they can't afford. So yeah. So
wow, then they bring in the big guns. So how's
that? Apparently so.
Golly, how's that feel to have a toy with your voice on it?
Are you kidding me? I can play with myself in public and get away with it.
Every man's dream.
Every man's dream. What are you doing? I'm playing with myself.
Suck it, Trebek.
And how's it feel like when you go to either a when you're watching on TV or when you're actually going to a theater and you hear your voice come up there, is it kind of strange?
It used to be a huge surprise because a lot of the work I did, I never got to hear. Because I honestly, you know, the painter doesn't paint his own house. I rarely get to watch any television. I only get to watch movies because I do them for reviews on my own personal channel. YouTube.com/John310. Copyright, patent pending, Ricky Bobby Incorporated, not to be used for that. Permission. I make a point to go see movies because I have to review them, but as far as TV goes, I really just DVR everything, and hopefully sometime by the end of the week I can finally catch up. So when I do hear myself, it's like, oh, look, there's the thingy, that's me. So
I did that. That's the thing. I did
the only really shocking thing is if it's a job that I didn't know I booked and I hear myself, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I didn't get paid for that.
Oh,
oh man,
that's happened a few times. Yeah, I was at the theater and the Movie 43, that really crappy, horrible comedy movie. It was I did Stephen Merchant's voice. See that blind kid over there? I dare you to blow out his candles before he gets a chance to. They used my audio, and I never got a dime for it. So I was calling my manager from the theater, saying, "Hey, I just heard myself in the theater, and guess what? I didn't get paid for it."
How in the world does that happen? How can they get your?
Well, not every client is honest, is the only thing I can say.
Oh.
They did eventually pay me, but then the other things happened I don't want to go into. But yeah, so you have to constantly be vigilant because people can use your – when you do an audition, you never know if they're going to use your audio or not.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And, yeah, it's one of those things where you just have to trust the client. And some clients, it slips through the cracks, not on purpose, not to intentionally screw you over. And some people are out to – not have to pay for it. So you just have to be cautious.
Wow. Well, yeah. Well, now, are you in L.A.? So can you go to these?
I travel back and forth. I actually live in the Mid-South. I'm about 3 minutes drive from the state line between Tennessee and Mississippi. So I just usually just say I'm from Memphis because it's pretty much a spit's throw from my backyard. And I grew up there and was born there. So,
how often do you like fly to L.A. to record stuff versus how often do you do it at in your home studio?
I'd say 95% of the time it's all here, but the other 5%, it's usually not to record. It's usually just happened to be in LA doing other shoots and other stuff with other companies, and they need me to record something, so I'll be in town. Very, very rarely do they specifically fly me out to record. For XCOM, that they did that, but then for all the the stuff that came after that first game, they recorded it here. So, you know, it just depends on where they need me to be. I'm willing to go wherever. I've told my agent, I work with one of the biggest agencies in the country, let alone in L.A., and they represent some of the top talent. I mean, Frank Welker's with my agent, as well as Tom Kenny, although he's a friend of my agent, but as well as half the cast of the new Star Wars show, and, you know, we got Rob Paulson in there and Maurice LaMarche in there and Greg Berger. Yeah, they're talking about some of the top-of-the-line guys. Half the cast of Teen Titans were with CESD. And so I know I'm up against major competition, but I've told them that if I do big a job, because usually they don't even send out the auditions if you don't live there. Mm-hmm. And they know that I would, you know, one way or another, I would make it to L.A. if I book a cartoon. Yeah.
So is that one reason? I mean, would you move to L.A. or are you ever going
to? That's the plan. I'm eventually going to move to L.A. because that's where the majority of that work is. And I could continue doing what I'm doing here, there, but I would be able to get more auditions, because even with commercials, they prefer to use their own studios. And if they have a studio and it's LA and I'm here, they'll pass on me for somebody else who can go to that studio. So
that was going
to
be a question I had, is it a cutthroat business?
Oh yes. There's a lot of competition. If you ever want to know how cutthroat this business is, sign up for voices.com and you will see very quickly that you're up against hundreds and hundreds of other people.
Really?
And even in my realm, where my circle is much, much smaller, there's a smaller pool to pick from with what I do, having a manager that only has 20-something talents and having an agency that only has maybe 100 or so voice actors, it's still pretty rough. And, you know, in my situation, it's usually down between one and me and two or three other people, and that's about it. But in general, if you're just a general voice actor or you're coming up, you're going to be against 500 to 1,000 sometimes, because there's so much more voiceover work out there now as opposed to what there used to be. And a lot of these new clients, they don't have the big budgets that some of the big clients have, like McDonald's. So they can offer, you know, $50 or $100, and you would be shocked at the people. They're like little piranhas, and somebody's dropping little tiny chunks of meat in the water.
So now, what was your first big break? I know that I think I saw that your wife actually got you into. She kind of pushed you to get into it.
Yeah, I'd started doing voices when I was 5, but I never really thought of anything other than just. Well, my parents called it annoying, not talent. and so I never knew you could make any money doing it. And she made me a MySpace page when I was at work flipping chickens at Chick-fil-A. And she's like, oh, you're going to love it. It's this cool new social network thing. I was like, social network? That's never going to last. So, yeah, don't get me to work on your portfolios, just saying. I don't really see trends very well. No, anyways, but MySpace turned out to be a big deal, and they had advertisements popped up, which is commonplace now, that ads popped up based on your interests. And an interest of mine had always been voice acting and voice actors. And a studio popped up that happened to have a chain of production studios across the country, and they had a location that wasn't too far from me. And she's like, oh, they said they're looking for talent. You should go try out. I'm like, that's stupid. She's like, well, the worst thing they can do is say no. And that was the most true, most simplistic statement that I've lived by that creed now, because, you know, what's the worst that can happen? They're just going to tell you no, and you go keep doing what you're doing, or you find something else to do. And I tried out, and they didn't say no. So, yeah, I'm totally – she's totally responsible for me. Even and she was the one who always said, you know, you're really, really talented. You should do this, you know, not just for fun or to make people laugh, but you should actually do this for a living. I didn't know there was a living to be made at it. Mm-hmm. And when they accepted me as a talent, and I had no prior experience, I had no prior training and no coaching, I had listened to some tapes by Pratt Fraley, who Doug would probably know as the voice of Krang from Ninja Turtles. Back in the day, he's also Brave Star, a bunch of other 80s characters, and he does a lot of coaching. He's very well respected in the community. And I'd studied and memorized his tapes on creating characters, and breaking down characters. And a lot of it had to do with music theory, which I'd always been really good at in school, because it all is about pitch and tempo. And so I started just paying attention to it. And whenever I went out there to audition, they said, well, I asked them, what should I do? And they said, well, just do whatever you do. Just do about a minute's worth. And it was in November of that year. It was 2008. And I was like, well, it's so close to Christmas, I'll just read The Night Before Christmas. And I did every section of the poem in a different voice. And I started off with my go-to In a World voice, you know, then they just blew them away. So they called me back in, mid-December and said, we want to cut you a demo. And they didn't charge me for it.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, well, they kept the exclusive rights to it, but they didn't charge me to make it either. So I came, they're like, we really don't even have any scripts that are capable of what you can do. Can you write them yourself? And I'm like, yeah. So I wrote most of my own scripts for my demo. And they signed me that January of 2009. They sent me my first audition February 1st. And by February 11th, I'd already booked a major campaign for an East Coast steakhouse called Texas Steakhouse. And I did 3 TV commercials for them and 2 radio commercials for them, all in within 20 minutes, man. I knocked them all out within a very short amount of time, and they gave me like a $1,200 invoice. And I was like, holy crap. And that's non-union. Non-union, that's an outstanding amount of money. If that had been union, that you're talking about tens of thousands of dollars probably. Yeah. But even for non-union, that was a ton. And I was like, holy crap. And that was my first real big introduction into the business. I've only had about 3 major breaks. The other was a year later, whenever my primary job had gone bankrupt because the economy turned down. And so they went bankrupt, and then when they came out of bankruptcy, they shut down our warehouse. So I didn't have a job. I had a little bit of 401k money. I had a little tiny bit of compensation. And my wife said, well, what are we going to do? And I was like, well, we could try the voice thing full time, because I only auditioned during the day. And I'd booked, you know, 1 or 2 jobs a month. I didn't think that was even that good. And then she's like, well, we got unemployment. We got a little bit of – we got a little enough money to just really scrape by. We'll give it a shot. And so it shut down Christmas. So January 1st, I was unemployed, doing nothing but voiceover, doing nothing but auditions. And February of that year, somebody on the internet found me after Don LaFontaine passed away, after I made that video called Movie Trailer Men Tribute, something to that effect. And I did 5 of my favorite movie trailer voices, and I knew who they were too. And the guy who contacted me is like, I wasn't just impressed with what you could do, I was impressed with that you knew who these guys were. Nobody knows who these guys are, especially not their names and, you know, how individual that they sound. Everybody just assumes the movie trailer voice is just this one voice or one guy. And he's like, would you mind reading some trailer scripts for me? Well, I thought the whole thing was an identity theft scam, to be honest. And they sent me the scripts, and the whole thing felt too good to be true. And usually if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
Right.
So I recorded for Extraordinary Measures, the movie 9, not the 9 I was thinking of. This was more of a sex drama rather than the CG animated version of 9 that I thought it was. I also read for The Last Station, and there was one, a Beastly, I think it was, or it was like 4 or 5 of them. And I think out of the 4 or 5, I booked 3, and his booking agent said, nobody's ever booked that many on their very first try. So congratulations. Wow. That was really impressive. The next thing I know, the guy that owned the company, they sent me a big fat check. So I said, well, this is not an identity scam. And he said, well, would you be interested in a management career? I think that you have a lot of raw talent, but I feel like we could really help you. So it wasn't coaching. He actually had me working one-on-one with his producers and his directors, really trying to, you know, make, instead of doing impressions, do what John Bailey sounded like, as opposed to John Bailey doing Don LaFontaine or doing Hal Douglas.
Right.
And that was my other big break. He sent me this huge contract. I had a voiceover lawyer friend of mine look it over. He's like, this contract is excellent. You can't get anything better than this. And included a free trip to L.A., so I'd never been to L.A. before. That first trip out there, I got to meet Kevin Michael Richardson and Phil Lamar in the parking lot, and I had lunch with Pat Fraley and Kyle Hebert. I saw Vanessa Hudgens sitting down having lunch right next to us. It was all in 1 week. That all happened.
Brag more, why yeah. don't you?
Yeah. And it was also the same week at Comic-Con, so I got a free pass to go to Comic-Con for a day, so I got to see Comic-Con for the first time. It was just that was an amazing experience. I even had somebody confuse me with Peter Cullen at the hotel I was staying at, which is funny.
Really?
They saw my Autobot hat, or I saw he had an Autobot hat on, and I said something to the effect of, Autobots transform and roll out. And he's like, are you the guy? And I'm like, I was really tempted to say, why, yes, I am. And I was like, no, I'm not. And the last big break came from the guys over at 2K Games, who also found me on the internet. He's like, dude, we love your Optimus Prime voice. We don't want to go through all the red tape of doing auditions and sending 500 people out to, get back what we already know we want. So we're just going to hire you directly and just point us in the right, in your agent's direction, and we'll get the paperwork filled out. And next thing you know, I'm the guy going, "Hello, Commander. In response to the alien threat, we've decided to activate the XCOM project."
That's awesome.
You know, all of a sudden people everywhere started recognizing me. And then the last one came when the guys from Honest Trailer said, "Look, our guy's going over. He's going back into active duty. We need a voice. We found you on the internet, and we found out that you do movie trailers for real. Would you be interested? Have you ever heard of Honest Trailers?" I'm like, "No." And so the biggest complaint we had, because I didn't really understand the whole concept at first. All I knew was that the previous voice didn't really sound like a movie trailer voice. In fact, every sentence was read the same way, and I was like, "That's not really, you know." And I took it a little too seriously. The first one I did was Lord of the Rings, and the biggest complaint we got, it sounds too much like a real movie trailer, which is all I'd ever done before. So after that, once I finally realized, oh, we're making fun of real movie trailers, so I kind of made it more campy and cheesed it up a lot, and, you know, broke character with the whole, "So such and such and such and such," you know, so it's not exactly the narrator the entire way through. Once that happened, we just kind of clicked, and it kind of just formed from there. Then that led to the prank stuff, and, you know, next thing you know, people are recognizing me for both for my professional work and for my on YouTube personality, you know, whatever. I don't even know what to call it. It's just a phenomenon.
Is it weird for you now that you're getting approached and like, have you gone to any cons yet as an actual guest?
Oh, I've been going to cons as a guest for about 3 years now.
It started off because
of my personal channel. I had a lot of Transformers fans because I used to do a lot of Transformers video stuff. I still do that every once in a while because I'm still a fan of the franchise. But now I've kind of moved that into the mainstream because of Honest Trailers and because of the stuff I do with Smosh Games. So I do impressions while I play video games on Thursdays, and I do movie reviews in the Epic Voice on Tuesdays, and then Saturday I can just do whatever I want. I do digital shorts and parodies and stuff, so I can do Transformers, I can do G.I. Joe, I can do Predator, Aliens, you know, whatever the heck pops in my head. So it gives me a little more creative leniency to do stuff that I still enjoy doing it, and that's where it doesn't feel like a job anymore. But back in the day, it was all Transformers stuff, so people were inviting me because my videos were very popular. They were like inviting me to come to conventions and just talk about, you know, making Transformers fan videos and making Transformers funny and how, you know, what's the formula and how do you get something created, how do you get something animated,
right,
writing, all that stuff. And then it led from that to the Honest Trailers being a huge thing, and now I get invited, and XCOM being a big game as it was, so there's several different reasons why people invite me to their cons. I'm still waiting on the day where I book a network animated series. I've done animation, but it's all been for, you know, digital shorts. Mm-hmm. But nothing mainstream. So then I'll have an even bigger draw for people to hire me for conventions. Yeah, but I have an agent for it. You know, so, Sherry Fowler represents a lot of big voice actors. And so I've got convention coming up this weekend where I'm an unofficial guest at a Transformers convention, TFCon in Chicago, this coming weekend. It'll be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I think. And then next weekend, I'm leaving out October 31st. I'm going to Jacksonville, Florida for Wasabi Gun, where I'll be an official guest there as well. So, yeah. And then there's a possibly SwampCon in February, I believe. And then who knows what else, you know. Yeah, but it, usually 3 or 4 times a year I'm a guest. The only ones I go to voluntarily as a convention goer are usually San Diego Comic-Con and Dragon Con. Yeah. So those are the big ones that have a lot of voice actors that I like to see and hang out with if I can, you know, say hello to. And my agents are usually there, so I get to see them too. Have a lot of fun, meet up with friends. Cool.
Are you jaded? Are you jaded from the cons yet, or do you still get weirded out?
No, I'm still one of them. You know, I'm still a regular guy. My head's not too big. I don't mind. I have a few creepy. I had a guy this year at San Diego that grabbed hold of my arm, wouldn't let me go.
What?
And it was a Chris Farley moment where he was like, "Hey, you remember that one Honest Trailer you did for Pacific Rim? That was awesome. You remember that one you did for Superman? That was cool." And I'm like, yeah, I remember. My wife kept looking at me like, what is he doing? And I was like, he won't let go of my arm.
Hey, I'm really sorry about that. I didn't mean to.
Yeah, it was actually Doug.
I had one of those moments after the first little bit. It was more like 3 hours later, and he's still good. You remember that one you did for Lord of the Rings? That was cool.
Is he just going to read you? So are you just going to read back? I mean, just, you know.
Yeah, he literally just reminded me of everything that I'd done. I'm like, yeah, I know. I worked on it.
He had a piece of paper with your whole career on it.
I don't remember that one. Please tell me more about it.
Thank you. I forgot about that one. A lot of laughs. Have you what's it like when people started coming up to you? And I don't know if they have or whatnot, but have they asked you for, like, you know, to take pictures with you and autographs and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, oddly enough, I get asked more for pictures than anything else, which is, that's what I do. I'm not really an autograph hound. I prefer to have a picture or a video of somebody that I'm a fan of. There's been a few times where I didn't get one because I try to feel the person out. If I feel like they're in a hurry, if I feel like they're feeling awkward or they're ready to go, then I'm not going to push it and ask. When I met Keith David, I briefly got the chance to say hello, big fan of his work, and I had a question about a Transformers job because he was supposed to be the voice of Barricade in the movie, and he did the job for the games, and then we don't know what happened, and all of a sudden Jess Harnell's doing two characters in the film, and I'm like, I just didn't quite understand. Was that a contract issue or what? He said, they just got somebody else. They didn't want me. And I was like, well, they made a big mistake. As much as I love Jess, Barricade would have sounded so much cooler if Keith David had been doing the voice for it. But I didn't ask him for a picture. But most of the time, you know, I know how I am around other people that I'm a fan of, so that I get pretty much the same treatment from most other people, except, you know, that one awkward guy or one awkward girl that, you know, sometimes they're too shy to come up. I'll see this random picture of the back of my head, this posted on the internet from somebody, and there's this little 50-year-old's like, I was too scared to go say hello, so I just took a picture. It's John Bailey, man. Yeah, so. But
that's
was
me. I'm kind of scared to take pictures with people. Yep. We go to conventions. We go as press, so we're able to get up there and take pictures of them.
Yeah, that's what ticked me off this year is that I qualified for more than one kind of press badge, and I usually get a professional pass, which are free, and if you get in early enough, you can also get a guest pass. So my wife and I go together. It's our yearly, you know, couple vacation away from our kids. We get somebody to watch the kids for us. And this year, Comic-Con didn't let us know until after it was too late that I needed to re-update my professional status. I didn't know that was an every 3 year thing. And I was like, oh yeah, I can do that. And the next thing I know, they're like, well, you should have done that October 30th. And I was like, what's January? Why are you just now telling me about it?
And they didn't help you out?
And so the first 3 days of the convention, I just literally stood outside like a homeless hooker and just waiting for people to come by and say, oh crap, it's John Bailey's, and taking pictures. That's literally what I did for the first 3 days. I'm like, well, I'm already here. Why not? There's people probably here that will say hi or whatever. And I ran into some friends up front. I ran into Andrea Romano walking around up front. So, hey, if I had a pass, I probably wouldn't even seen her.
3 days, yeah. 3 days outside and you still had a good time. That's not bad.
Yep, it wasn't too shabby. And then luckily Screen Junkies hooked me up with some passes for the last couple of days. So I actually did get to go in and got to say hi to Tom Kenny, and who was mad at me for waiting in line when he knew that I could have just asked, you know, my agent to get something for our kids. But I was like, nah, I'm just one of the regular people.
Yeah,
the most awkward moment was Tara Strong, who I'm a huge fan of. Tara Strong is like the leading female voice actress in the business. And she's sitting at a table with a lot of other celebrities. And the kid who got they bit about Bingo from We Are the Millers is sitting on the far end of her. Next to him is RJ Mitty, who plays Walter White Jr. And then there was a couple other voice actors sitting on that side, and Tara was on the far end. When RG Mitty recognized me, all of a sudden, all the people that were supposed to be working next to him, the con handlers, started asking if they could come around the other side of the table and take pictures with me in front of Tara Strong. And that was a really, really awkward feeling. Because I know she knows who I am, but I have a feeling she didn't realize that I was popular and, you know, recognized. It's just that look on her face like, why is this fat guy famous? You know? And RJ Mitty's the one taking the pictures, you know. So he's like, okay, see cheese, see boobs.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Did you ever dream that your tagline would be boobs?
Well, technically, that's not my tagline. I just took that tagline over from the previous voice actors. I didn't come up with that.
Well, you made it your own. That's good.
Yeah. Well, I guess if I had a tagline, mine would probably be abs.
Oh,
I didn't start doing abs until after I came along. And after we did the crossover with CinemaSins, it's probably going to be How Convenient. Because all of a sudden they're like, man, we should do How Convenient in every single movie. But as far as back to your question about being recognized, the first time it was really shocking. And it's always a little bit, especially when people don't come up and say, oh, hey, I'm a huge fan, you know, John, or they say, oh, hi, John Bailey, can I get a picture, or can I get a recording, and I'm cool with anything, but I've done a lot of video of interest for people, I've recorded voicemails for folks, I have a couple of pre-memorized things in case they can't tell me what they really want, but it's when those people just walk up to you, and you don't know who they are, and they're like, John Bailey, what's up, dude, and he's like, like, how do you know who I am? It's still a little bit, you know. On the West Coast, it's a lot, all the time, everywhere I go. Like, we went, Kevin and I, the host from Break, the prank stuff, he and I went to see Transformers 4 at the Chinese Theater, and we got stopped on the Walk of Fame by fans. Really? It was they recognized me, and I'm like, well, I'm not the only one. There's Kevin standing. He's like, oh yeah, you're the guy from the prank stuff. So people are taking pictures of us on the Walk of Fame right outside the theater. But out here, it's really rare because, you know, the internet's not as prevalent a thing as it is out on the West Coast, where entertainment's such a big deal, or even further east of us where it's a big deal. So in the Mid-South, I got recognized at Best Buy several times, at my local theater several times, and at AutoZone when I was getting a part for a car. My car broke down, and my father-in-law was with me, and the guy goes, holy crap, it's John Bay. And my father-in-law had the weirdest look in his face because he had no idea how popular I'd gotten or that anybody even knew who I was. He's like, dude, can I get a picture with you? And my father-in-law just has this, like, just the open mouth, like, what is going on? And he has not stopped telling us. So I was like, man, we went to AutoZone. This guy started talking about getting a picture with him and everything. That's crazy. John's, like, famous or something.
That's his story. You get proud of people who, you know, who actually get successful and everything. It's a good feeling.
Well, fame doesn't pay the bills, but it's
true.
It's pretty cool. You know, I have no problem with it. I'm not going to let it go to my head or anything because, you know, look at all the people who had their 15 minutes and it disappeared. And they're pulling out teeth trying to get it back.
Well, let's hope for a sustained longevity.
Yeah, it'd be nice. You know. Yeah, I tend to be a grower, not a shower. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully I can keep slow, sustainable growth rather than having a 15-minute window and then it being ended. But right. I try to keep. Not to say it's not professional, but I try to keep the professional part of my voiceover career separate from my online voiceover personality type thing. So,
right.
Now you mentioned that you did the prank videos, and I watched the latest one where you guys went into the mall.
It was the food court that was on Universal City Walk.
God, I laughed.
I was wondering because when we only had a 1 4-minute video and there was no behind the scenes or edited takes, and I was like, we did a 14-hour shoot. Where's the rest of the thing?
Well, that's what I wanted.
So
I was like,
split it into multiple videos. I'm like, oh, okay, good. That's awesome.
Yeah, I was like, I want more. And yeah. I laughed so hard when you were behind the couple and you were like, her shorts are too short. Because he looked like, from the camera in the front, it looked like he was going to turn around and fight you. He looked so angry.
I never had any of that. I never got any negative stuff. Nobody ever acted like they were angry or offended. Most people just kind of had a kind of a like, wait a minute, he's talking about me, like the shock look on their face. But no, I never felt like I was in danger or anybody wanted to fight me or anything like that.
Do you enjoy that? Because
my only regret is that there were so many good takes. We did the escalator thing 2 or 3 times, and so many of them were so good, and it ended up not. They ended up getting cut, and hopefully maybe they'll eventually make it into a video somewhere. You never know. It might be a technical issue that didn't get recorded right, or but yeah, I was literally, by the end of the day, it was so long that my improvisational skills had come to an end. I was running out, literally doing the same thing every time. I was running out of ideas, and they're like, dude, come on, just do one more. I'm like, dude, I'm out. My brain is so tired. I can't think of anything new that we haven't already done.
Was that different for you because of the fact that, you know, you get to kind of hide behind a mic when you work?
I mean, you can just talk to me right now. You can tell how good I am at playing back and forth with other people and how good I am at coming up with stuff off the top of my head. But when you do that for 14 hours straight and they want you to do something new and different every single time, that gets very, very difficult, especially when you're tired and you're hungry and you've been walking and you're fat and you walk a lot and you sweat and you're carrying around a 40-pound bag of hardware. It's not – because everybody's like, oh, they pre-recorded all the stuff later. No, I carried that stupid speaker and that – whatever that wireless microphone headset thing. I mean, it looked like something from the Backstreet Boys or One Direction. I had a little headset thingy on. Hey, I kept getting stuck in my ear and falling into my mouth, and the wires kept jabbing me in the back of the ears. So everything was done for real. There's one prank you probably didn't pay attention to that I was also in, and that was the Uber prank we did with Optimus Prime. Paramount gave us the actual Optimus Prime truck. They had me live on the other end over Skype in the truck listening to the guy inside the cab, and I was communicating with them back and forth as Optimus Prime. But I recorded it on my end so we'd have a higher quality audio. People are like, oh, this is prank. This is all pre-recorded or post-recorded. I'm like, no, I did that live. I was listening to the whole prank the whole time.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, those, none of the stuff they do over there is fake. I've seen it firsthand. Those are all – they're all 100% legitimate.
So, I haven't seen that video. Is that a part of one of the
prank? Yeah, it's on Break's channel. Look up the Optimus Prime Uber prank.
Okay.
So people were calling Uber rides, and Optimus Prime shows up. They picked 3 individuals that were huge Transformers fans.
Oh, that's incredible.
My favorite joke is like,
it feels good to have you inside me.
I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just gonna go for it. It's everybody's thinking it, but nobody ever says it out loud.
That's awesome. So, okay. So I wanted to go back a little bit because you said that you started voices when you were five. And how many voices do you have in your arsenal?
I used to have a count. In fact, you noticed by my, well, I don't know if I gave you my Skype name or not. My Skype name was The Man of 1,000 Voices. That was like my total was getting close to 1,000 back when I first started. I started doing a list of all the characters and all the voices that I could do, celebrities, politicians, whatever. And I got up to the 600, 700 range. And I was like, well, that's a lot. You know, I might as well just say 1,000 because it's catchier, you know, whatever. It was kind of cocky if you think about it. But then my manager and her staff, they send me new voices to do every day and stuff that I'd never even tried before, never even heard of before, never thought I would book any. Like Harrison Ford and Jeff Bridges, I would never in a million years thought I would be able to book those voices. And I did more than once. And I was just shocked. So I just kind of stopped counting. I just literally just wiped the slate clean in my head about what I can and can't do. And then when they throw one at me, I'll listen to it. I'll throw it back a few times until I feel like I'm right on. Because there's a big difference, and I feel like I'm obligated to explain it to people sometimes because some people may not know. When you're doing a voice match, it's basically a fancy term for perfect impression. Mm-hmm. Because an impression is something comedians use. They're supposed to be over the top. They're supposed to be funny. They're supposed to make people laugh because you know who it is, but it's an exaggerated right. version of that person. Like when you go to the fair and you have somebody do a caricature of yourself and there's this huge crazy forehead, like, you know, Doug's beard would be three times bigger than it is in real life in a caricature rather
that
than
would be yeah. absurd.
So because it's an over exaggeration. So when you take an over exaggeration, I always use the example of Arnold Schwarzenegger. I try to avoid ones that everybody thinks they can do. Mm-hmm.
But if you hear a comedian doing Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's always over the top. Yeah, come on. But the real Arnold Schwarzenegger is way down here and he's very reserved.
You know, so you can tell the difference between one that's deliberately meant to replace him so you can't tell he's been replaced in audio-wise mm-hmm. in a trailer, because I worked on Last Stand and nobody's supposed to know that Arnold Schwarzenegger didn't actually say those lines. It's somebody else sounding like him. But then when a comedian does it, it's obvious that it's somebody else. So that's the big difference between what I do as opposed to what people think impressions are.
And how long are your lines that you have usually have to record for a movie?
Well, that depends. Sometimes if it's a full-fledged movie, sometimes it depends on if it's me doing the narrator voice or if it's me doing voice match. I've done entire plot exposition for movies like Seventh Son, and I was doing Jeff Bridges. You know, I did the same thing for RIPD where we were explaining what the movie was about, and it was at least a half a page long. And then sometimes the movie trailer has a full page.
I want to hear your
Well, you know, man, what you need to do is you need to get a Duracell battery, because they're the Duracell batteries are the ones that make everything last longer.
And how I got to it was I just reverse engineered it from Frank Caliendo doing John Madden, and somehow I ended up with Jeff Bridges.
Very nice.
It dawned on me that every character he's done since True Grit has all sounded like this. I'm the guy from True Grit. I'm the guy from Seventh Son. I'm the guy from The Giver. I'm the guy from RIPD. Look at there. We're all the same.
It's true. I saw an interview with him recently, and I was like, I think he got stuck in that voice.
Yep. He is now permanently cast as the Southern guy.
Did he have a stroke or something?
I don't know. Voice I don't know.
Stuck in
because,
it.
You know, used to, man, he was the guy, man. He was the dude. And now he was the cowboy dude. I don't know what happened. And I should warn you, you should not drink when you talk to me because some of it's going to come out your nose.
Yeah, I know. I should be careful.
And same thing with Harrison Ford. I never in a million years thought I would get Harrison Ford. And I still don't think I do at Harrison Ford. But apparently he came
do
in.
Do it. We'll judge.
He came in very, very high.
Yeah, because we're...
to record for Ender's Game, and they said when I had done the scratch for it, they said that you did more acting than Harrison Ford did. Apparently Harrison Ford came in like he did at the Oscars, and he came in and just read the script and he just left, you know. So it was just him talking, and in Ender's Game, you know, he wasn't
just talking, he was actually acting. We need you, Ender. You can win this war for us,
you know. And I was like, I don't think that did that great. And they're like, actually that was perfect. So you never know. Client may think it's awesome. I'm usually my own worst critic, and if I don't feel like it's 100% spot on, I'm like, you should get somebody else. And they're like, actually, this is good. I'm like, okay, you say so.
So have you actually turned down jobs, or like, has there been?
No, I've never turned down jobs unless it was get personally against my own beliefs. Mm-hmm. Like, there's been a few alcohol or commercials or gambling commercials that I'm like, no, you know, I don't want my kids thinking that because my voice is on there, I support this kind of. stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'll pass. But as far as voice matches go, I've always at least given it a shot because you never know. Because right. even if I think I suck, they may think it's awesome. Who knows?
So what's the craziest script that you've gotten or the job request that you've gotten?
Craziest script I ever did was for Seven Psychopaths. And I had to do the line, I don't know who you are or why you're here. And I don't know if you do know who the Shih Tzu is or where the Shih Tzu is, but either way, have some pride in yourself. Have some faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord, and don't tell these scum-sucking motherfuckers nothing. Such a bizarre line. I was like, well, I have to see this movie now.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome.
That's crazy. I'm going to go watch movies now and just be the whole time be like, is it actually the actor or am I listening to fucking John?
Well, usually in the film themselves, it's automatically added to their contract that if they need to do any re-records, they get the actual actors. Sometimes if the actor's big enough, they're like, you know, screw that. You're going to have to pay me another $1 million. And they're like, you know what? We'll just get a sound alike. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but the movie Heat, almost all of Robert De Niro's lines were re-recorded by somebody not Robert De Niro. That was wow. not even his voice. Mind blown.
Wow, everything I know is a lie. I'm for real.
All the back and all and ADR is not just for what I do. ADR actually expands into what's called loop groups. So everything you hear in the background of a movie is all re-recorded post movie and instead of while they're filming. Whenever they film, like let's say that I'm in the scene, they'll have the boom right there. I'll be actually saying my lines. Everybody behind me is doing this.
Right,
they're just moving their mouths.
Stuff,
the music is added later. Have you ever noticed sometimes where their dancing is out of sync? It's not because they're white. It's because there's no music. And sometimes they do have a thing going one, two, three, four, so they can have some kind of idea what the rhythm is. But usually it's everybody being totally quiet. Even the radio chatter in police and military movies is all done with a couple of handheld walkie-talkies. One person goes in the booth and holds the walkie-talkie next to the microphone. Somebody else goes back to the room where they record, and they just do a bunch of lines. Like, one out of 12, one out of 12. And that's how they do the ADR for all the radio stuff. And yep. Now I can't even watch a movie the same way, knowing what loop groups do and what ADR does. And when you see something in a movie or you hear something in a trailer and it's not in the movie, now you know why. They changed it. Sometimes it's to make the movie make more sense. Sometimes it's for rating purposes. Like Jonah Hill did not record his line on Wolf of Wall Street in the trailers. He's like, you got my money taped to your boobs. I kind of do own you. He didn't say boobs. He said tits. But they had to censor that. They couldn't say tits mm-hmm. on regular, you know, general release trailers. So they had somebody re-record for Jonah Hill. And that wasn't Jonah Hill. I know I auditioned for it. Wasn't me, but somebody did it. it'll blow your mind. And then you'll go to the movie like, wait a minute. This is not the way. Remember this in the trailer?
That's incredible. Now I don't even know if the actors are real.
Films are all faked. Everything, nothing is real. They're computer animated holograms.
Yeah, exactly.
Brad Pitt is actually a dog in a costume.
Because he doesn't get old anyways. So
yeah, that explains exactly. a lot, actually.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you said that earlier you don't get a chance to watch a lot of TV. What do you get to? Do you watch a lot of movies?
I have specific shows that I watch that I watch the ones that are most popular, regardless of whether I like them or not, because I want to stay current on what's popular and people want to know my opinion on it, whether it sucks or not. So I keep up with Arrow, I keep up with Flash, I keep up with Gotham, even though I hate Gotham. I keep up with Hannibal.
Okay, I have a quick question for Gotham. I've said this to Doug on previous shows. There's two characters that I think are so overplayed, while everyone else is kind of. It's what's her fucking name?
Fish Mooney.
Yeah. Fish Mooney, and I think that her character just doesn't fit. What do you hate about Gotham?
I hate about Gotham is it's Batman without Batman. It's basically they took Batman's hometown and his rogues gallery, and they made it into a CSI show, which is not what I want to see. If I were going to put a detective in there, why don't we put the detective, mm-hmm. not him as a little boy? And I mean. Do we care more about his rogues gallery? Or do we care more about Batman? You know, they've been trying, and this is an offshoot of what they were going to do a long time ago. There was originally the pilot idea for Gotham. In fact, I remember this from 5 years ago, was going to be just like Smallville, a young 20-something cast with Batman as a teenager, and that it evolved into this. And I just don't like it. I mean, they do a good job of making Gordon look like an awesome guy, but that's mm-hmm. about it. And I'm not into crime dramas. The only crime drama I ever really cared about, if you want to even call it a crime drama, is Breaking Bad and Dexter until it started sucking.
Yeah.
So
I enjoy crime dramas. So I'm actually enjoying Gotham. Plus, I love the fuck out of Batman. So
I like Batman too, but that's the problem. Batman ain't in it.
But I love
even if they did it like Arrow, where we're seeing flashbacks and Batman actually is in the movie or in the show, I would have liked that better.
See, I'm still enjoying it. Like, because I know that's like, campy.
You know, DC doesn't have a CSI type show, so I guess I can understand it from that point of view.
And I don't know. I don't know if I would like a live-action Batman show. So there's that part of me that actually kind of
Well, people in the 60s tend to disagree with you.
Amen. Amen.
I'm talking, like, nowadays. After what Nolan did, you can't, like, I think it's... That's why I'm still skeptical about the new Batman movie as well. Is that...
Well, I honestly wouldn't mind seeing a Batman show when he first starts out, the way they did Smallville, where he doesn't have the costume yet, where he's still dressed in black with a mask on his, you know, a hood thing on his face.
And the purple gloves.
He's still in training, you know, because they hinted at that in the first Batman, and Batman Begins. They show a little bit of that. They show him getting hurt a lot, and he's not fully trained yet. He thinks he's ready, but he's not. You know, that could show him being trained by Ra's al Ghul. There's a lot of elements that they could have made this, they could have turned this into, rather than be a boy and literally being non-existent.
Yeah, but then, you know, like you said, they kind of already have that show with Arrow, so I can see where they would want to change it up, because literally it would be the same as Arrow. Like, I feel like Flash right now is a reincarnation of
Smallville. I said the exact same thing, I will in tomorrow's video. I'm not sure when this will go.
Spoilers!
In Tuesday's video, it's basically the same format. We got flashbacks. Which is funny because this is Flash in the flashbacks. I see what they did there. But the fact that we have a 20-something team, Flash doesn't need a team. He doesn't need a 20-something team from Star Labs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've already seen Arrow. He's got too many people that know who he is already. I mean, it's too much. It's overkill.
Well,
I mean,
and Smallville had the kryptonite meteors or whatever that created superhumans that it was like case.
This one's got
thing.
The big explosion with all the.
It's literally Smallville 3.0 because I guess Arrow kind of is.
It's small Arrow. That's what it is.
Small Arrow.
Small Flash Arrow. Small Arrow Flash.
Small Arrow Flash. Not to mention Flash looks like Andrew Garfield. I keep expecting him to shoot webs out of his arms and swing away.
See, Doug.
Here's a question for you: Marvel or DC? Who do you root for?
That depends on what kind of movie are your favorite kind of films, because Marvel tends to have more uplifting type films, a little more cheesiness, a little more comedy. It's a little bit lighter. The entire mood is a little bit lighter in all the films. They haven't done a real dark movie other than Fox, who tried to do Daredevil badly, but they haven't really done any dark films. X-Men's about the closest thing we've ever come to seeing anything really dark from the Marvel side of the universe. Mm-hmm. Marvel Disney hasn't done anything like that. In fact, if you go back and watch them after you get over the fact that you love Marvel and love Avengers and everything that they do, when you get that puppy love out of your system, you can see that this really is kind of toned down for kids. It is very kiddish. It's very, you know. But then DC's, they've got the whole thing with the darkness all wrapped up. They've definitely got the darker films. Man of Steel was a darker film. All the Batman movies were darker films. You don't see a lot of comedy in there. There's a little, you know, you might get a little smirk from something witty that somebody says.
They tried comedy once. It was Green Lantern.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I tell you what, if they'd done that with Nathan Fillion, that movie would have been a success. I guarantee it.
Absolutely.
He already voices Green Lantern anyway.
Yeah, why not just bring him right in? I'm 100% with you.
Yep. Stupid idiot.
Doug and I have argued over Man of Steel.
He looks great in a flight jacket too. Come on.
Doug and I go back and forth over the Man of Steel. Did you enjoy it? And are you bothered?
I give Man of Steel 5 stars.
Out of
out of 5.
Oh, okay.
Although I still had my issues with it, though. My one issue, which is not so bad on a smaller screen, but when you see it on the big, giant screen, especially in an HD screen, an HD theater, and that hair comes toughing out of that suit, and it looks like head crabs trying to escape or something. It's just it's like, dude, you couldn't lose your user laser vision to shape that shit up a little bit? I mean, you managed to get rid of the beard. Why not take care of that neck hair, bro? Because you're starting to look like a Russian Superman.
I didn't even think of that. That wasn't even in my
theater,
hemisphere.
Man, it's just there's bushes. It looks like his vagina hair had grown up to his chest. It had scaled up his chest and it was popping out of his neck. It's just not very clean, and I understand this is not the clean-cut version of Superman like we're used to, a little bit grittier and darker. I think that neckline is, because every time I looked at it, I was just like cringing. But as far as the acting went, the way he looked, the story, other than the product placement was way too much, I really did like it. I liked the fact that they destroyed the city, although they kind of ignored the fact that why were people still there when they were supposed to have evacuated a long time ago? But that happens in every movie, you know. I don't know. And I don't know about how I feel about Perry Black either. That was kind of weird for me.
Really? Well, how'd you feel about him?
Barry Black.
It just came around.
I'm a black guy.
I was already on to the next question when it came back around. I was like, wait, did he just say that?
Yeah. I'm not racist. It was just weird for me because I've always known Perry White as this
right
really screamy old white guy. You know, he's Ed Asner voiced him in the cartoons, and then have him to switch that to, if you take the blue superhero costume, you find out how deep the rabbit hole goes. it was just a weird mix, especially after seeing him in Hannibal, where he's super kind of scary almost, you know? So it was weird for me. Not to mention, he's put on a few pounds. He's getting kind of thick.
He's no more.
Yeah.
I don't see him jumping around kicking Keanu Reeves anymore anytime soon. But back to one of my favorite shows, though. I skipped a few of them. Walking Dead, I'm a big fan of as well. And there's a lot of anime stuff that I try to keep up with because I call it research, if nothing else, because I want to know who's currently working. Keep up with Transformers, keep up with the Ninja Turtles, any ones that are the most popular shows, Adventure Time, whatever the kids are watching, whatever voice actors I know or watch. Star Wars Rebels is actually pretty decent. It's one that my kids and I can enjoy together. It's very nice.
Been very pleasantly surprised with Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah, that was
Bates
impressive.
Motel is kind of going downhill for me. It started off pretty good in season one, but it's just two just kind of...
See, I haven't seen two yet. I love season one.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., oh, man.
I want to love that show so much.
And it's so hit and miss.
Yeah, it really is. And I
It's one I'm hoping to convince the guys at Honest Trailers for us to do. We haven't done a TV show in a while. And because it's so hit and miss, and because we're literally getting to see them clean up after Thor, the janitorial crew of S.H.I.E.L.D., I just think there's a lot of humor there to be had. But, I mean, they had a really strong start, and, hey, look, there's Nick Fury. Oh, look, there's this other guy we know. Mm-hmm. And then it was just, and then at the last three episodes, they bring it back up again. And then the same thing happened in season two. First season was really good. First episode was really good. And then, again, you know. So it just has little tiny moments of, like, oh, that's kind of cool, but the rest of it just sucks.
When they do the direct tie-ins with the movies, that's when it's really
Yeah,
good.
It was really, when they tied it in with Captain America 2, that was the best it was. In fact, all three of those episodes and the first episode of the second season were really well done because they directly reflect what's going on in the Marvel theatrical universe. But then after that,
no
it gets these one-off episodes where the story arc's not all that strong. It's not doing it for me. And, you know, and I also watch Doctor Who, but this new guy, I'm still not digging him. He's starting to grow on me a little bit, but all these episodes feel like filler. They're individual stories. They're not tied together. Where there are the arc that they're trying to create is lame. Some woman who thinks that Doc is her boyfriend apparently deals with dead people. It's not interesting at all.
I've only seen the first episode of the new Doctor. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed his first episode.
Was okay. I think it's the writing that's the problem because they're writing him as this campy, cheesy Doctor, and he's so much a more serious Doctor than that. We need to take him back to the way Doctor Who was back when it very first started. The serious, older Doctor is something we haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah. I was over like Matt Smith and the campy, cheesy.
I didn't like Matt Smith. I didn't. Yeah. I liked the stories were still good. The episodes were still good, and the cheesy effects and campiness of the show I still liked. And I still liked his companions. Amy Pond I thought she was adorable. But honestly, David Tennant was the best that we've seen since the last year. New guy, they're not using him to his fullest potential. They're using him like he's Matt Smith, and he's not Matt Smith. Don't let him be Matt Smith. And this fact that he's got this super cute, really young companion, the chemistry is not there. I'm so glad when she's supposed to go like around Christmas and they're getting a new companion in. Thank God, because those two do not mesh well at all.
Yeah, it was a shame because I thought like she meshed really well with Matt Smith.
Yeah,
better.
She did.
I liked her better than Amy Pond, and I was like, this sucks. We only have this for half a season. Two seasons of this would have been phenomenal.
Yeah, not to mention they kind of erased the whole thing where she's supposed to be scattered throughout his timeline. Now she's just in every episode.
Yeah.
kind of glazed
over that one, didn't we?
Yeah. But
anyways, I think that's – oh, and American Horror Story. Season 3 was an absolute atrocity. There was nothing – the only thing horrific about the show was the show itself. Season 4 has already started. Season 4 is only two or three episodes in, and it's already better than all of last season. This creepy clown is giving me nightmares. Every time he shows up on screen, he scares the crap out of me.
We saw some clowns. We went to a convention this weekend, and we saw some clowns, and that's all I can think about. I was like,
Jeez.
One of these guys is going to club me over the head and stab me to death with a pair of scissors. Like, yes, this isn't going to happen. Much.
Doug does not do well with clowns.
The only thing that we don't
clowns
need
to... don't bother me, but the one in this show is
the
just...
The one in this show is...
Terrifying.
He is more horrifying than Twisted Metal Clown is. He's or more horrifying it. Than all the... Yeah, or all the killer clowns from outer space rolled into one. He's just absolutely terrifying.
Oh, I remember that movie.
And they showed him without his mask on, and he's even scarier to me now.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, jeez, no, you don't. You'll never get that memory out of your mind. It's like playing Five Nights at Freddy's for the rest of your life, all wrapped in one. No, and the only thing about the show that I don't like is that they seem to be forcing a musical number into every single episode. I thought we told them in season 3 that we hated that, but apparently they didn't get the idea.
I liked it in season 2.
Season 2 is fine.
The asylum when season 2 when they did the musical number, yeah. But they're in an asylum, so you're like. She's doing the name song,
yeah.
But then you see like you know, she's seeing this in her head because yep. She's fucking just drugged out or whatever. And then yep. You see it when it's all over, and she's just there, just
yep,
drugged yep. out. And that was awesome. I was like that.
Yeah, that makes total fun. Sense. And then season 3, there's like, hey, let's try to sell some music CDs. Yeah. And then season 4, it's like they started off. It was like, well, that went over so well in the last season. Let's do it every episode. And I'm like, oh, jeez. Because they're doing a performance, they figured they had to have a musical number in there. I didn't think that was necessary at all.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's all the Best of the Hills Have Eyes, along with Freaks, the movie Freaks, and just horrible, nightmarish clowns. I mean, it's the best of all horror things all rolled into one so far.
Here's a question. Since you're a little bit farther in the show than I am, and you've actually seen all the seasons, I don't know if Jeremy's watched it at all.
I will not
have
watch
they
that
tried
show.
In Pepper at all? Like it's her. It's the same actress, and she's credited as in the same character, and she's Pepper in Asylum, and she's Pepper in this.
You know, I didn't catch that yet, but I you know, I've only seen the first two. If the third one is on my DVR, I haven't watched it yet. But I think we're only 2 episodes in, but I didn't notice.
Oh yeah, it's the you know what I'm talking about though, the girl with like yeah. The pinhead and the big teeth. It's the same actress, and again, she's credited as the same name.
Yeah, I don't think they haven't made any correlation between this and the other show. That may be something that they plan on implementing later on.
Because time-wise, it would make a little sense. If this is 1950s, and then that's 1960s when we introduced her.
Yeah, maybe this happens before season 2 did. Mm-hmm. But so far, season 1 was the absolute best, in my opinion. This season's starting to catch up to that level, though. Season 2 was really well done, but season 3, man, they almost just... ruined the whole thing for me.
It was like funny. It almost became like a comedy.
Yeah, it was. It was completely. I mean, it was just. I felt like I was watching a really bad X-Men TV show because they all had these mutant powers. Basically, they're not witches; yep. They're just mutants.
I've never gotten into that one. I can't do it. I can't do that.
I don't blame you. It was horrible.
I'm not a horror.
No, he just means the show in general. He can't do scary.
I can't do scary.
Oh, geez.
I'm a pussy.
You can't do scary. I can totally understand.
No, I well, I
Hannibal
watched.
It was really good, right? If you like, and that's a crime drama and a horror show. But Hannibal's guff. The fact that they used everything from the books and from the movies, and they just did it in their own way and tied it in with the entire story, and yeah. Now we're past the movies, and I'm like, oh, I don't have no idea what's gonna happen now.
Yeah, I actually watched Silence of the Lambs today.
Ah, nice.
Because I was like, man, I'm in the mood for some Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, Doug is our big horror guy. I watched you, John, play the Five Nights at Freddy's or whatever, and I was jumping when I was like, "This is ridiculous."
Yeah, you know, I thought I was going to have to act scared just for you know the video to be funnier. No, it was no acting involved. It really is that terrifying because I mean you can't really tell when it's edited, mm-hmm. But they space the stuff out for so long. It's every hour lasts about 2 minutes, so a full night is 10 minutes long. Mm-hmm. When you're 10 minutes long and with the headphones, you're just hearing things move around and things falling over. There's no music. It's just creepiness. And then a camera goes dark or somebody just pops into a screen somewhere. Man, the wolf running down the hallway. I was not expecting any animation. Mm-hmm. I was expecting this to be a picture game. And boom, there's a picture. This thing comes running down the hallway at me and scares the crap out of me. I was like, oh, he's coming right for me.
That's when I jumped to him.
Expecting it to be as scary as it was.
And when I think it was when one of the faces, you switched the camera and one of the faces was right in front of the camera.
Yep.
And I jumped back. I was like, good God. I was like,
stupid duck, man.
And then I didn't even notice, okay, because you kept hitting the door on the left-hand side. I didn't even know there was another door on the right-hand
side.
Yeah,
there's two doors, so you, and they can come in at either way. So you have to constantly, and man, they were starting really early in the night. I mean, during the game had just started on the second night. And I wasn't even through hour one, and they were already leaving their positions and moving around. And I'm like, gee, my battery was gone. I was so close. I'd been in 5 o'clock for a minute and a half. I was 30 seconds away from surviving night two. And then the power went off, and I'm dead.
So you have to manage your battery life in between the doors.
Yeah,
and
the battery just constantly drains. And the more you click on things, the more you look at the screen, the more you turn on the lights or shut the doors, the more the battery drops by 1%. And it goes faster and faster. So you have to have not gotten eaten by the puppets or run out of battery by 6 a.m. And it's not exactly easy, especially when they start that soon. Because first night's pretty easy. The first 2 or 3 hours, they literally don't do anything. So you can really conserve your battery, don't mess with anything. Mm-hmm. But that first night, man, and if you just ignore them, you will instantly get eaten by the wolf. You cannot ignore the wolf. You have to go and check and make sure he's still there.
It's nerve-wracking, man. Yeah. Especially when you open the door and it's standing right there in front of the door.
Are you kidding me?
I
and the fact that you think it's gone, and you open the door, and it's still freaking there. Like, go away, leave me alone.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, you got to go check it out. It's on his YouTube page, John 3.0. It's John3PNT0, not O.
Yeah. So, I was going to put John 3.0 with the dot, and apparently YouTube was being picky about the dot. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what happened with that. So now it looks like John 3 Pinto.
Yeah.
So what some people have thought it was, but yeah, I tried to make my personal channel voiceover centered, because that's what, you know, I'm a big believer in you always do what your strongest suit is. So I try to stick with what I'm strongest at, which is doing voiceover stuff. So the movie stuff is all current theatrical releases, current TV shows, current Blu-ray releases, and I do everything in the epic voices. I'll change the trailer style depending on if it's a family film or if it's a horror, if it's an action, and that I do those on Tuesdays. And then Thursdays I wanted to do impression videos, but I didn't want to do them how everybody does. You know, I don't want to steal anybody else's thunder, because mm-hmm. I happen to be really good at it, and I didn't want to say, oh, you know, I'm just doing what you do, but I do it better type thing. You know, I don't want to rub it in anybody's face. So because my friend Brock Baker, he's got hundreds of thousands of subscribers, and he's doing really, really well on YouTube, even though that's not what he wants to do for a living, I'm sure. But I didn't want to just, you know, stand and say, okay, this is all the characters from The Simpsons in 3 minutes. You know, I didn't want to do that, because it's just a guy standing there in front of a microphone doing lines. And I was like, you know what would be funny is just to randomly do improvise the entire thing, just randomly do impressions, have one kind of central impression to do, and play a game that has something to do with that voice, like Peter Lorre doing Doom 3, which is what I did last time. And then I did... you know, I sometimes do the characters from the actual game. If I could do Mario playing Mario, I would, but I've heard Nintendo is very picky about using Mario gameplay. But I plan on eventually doing XCOM, so I can actually do my own character from XCOM playing XCOM.
I laughed I laughed my ass off with when you did the Tall Tales Walking Dead.
Yeah, I was about to say, I did Rick doing Walking Dead.
Oh, my God. Can you do the Carl? Coral!
Carl! It's good for the group, Carl. Things, Carl. Things and stuff, Carl.
Coral.
I did Duke Nukem playing Duke Nukem. I've done... I did the some of the movie actors from Mortal Kombat playing Mortal Kombat. I tried to make them make sense, you know. So it's just an excuse to do impressions while people can watch how badly I am at playing video games. But yeah, so, and I have other plans. I have a plan on doing Wolverine playing the Wolverine game. I have a plan on doing Jeff Bridges playing Tron.
Well, the Wolverine game, all you have to do is keep breaking the controller. Oh, broke another one.
I'm doing Jack Black and Jesse Pinkman, Aaron Paul playing Dead Island, because they're allegedly might be in the next game. They were definitely in the trailer. And see, those are the other ones I'm going to do. I'm going to do Bill Paxton playing Alien Isolation. I'm going to do Ian McKellen playing Lord of the Rings, Lego Lord of the Rings. Yeah, I got a whole list of stuff that, I'll still plan, because I have a lot of Transformers fans that still follow me. I still plan on doing the voices of Transformers playing the actual Transformers games, because there's a couple of those I haven't done yet.
How long?
So yeah, there's plenty of those out there to do too. So
Yeah, no joke. Especially when you have such a huge just arsenal of.
Yeah, it's like literally, I just look at a game like, see, can I do a voice that goes with that? Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it's trying to find a game that a voice that makes sense with the game to being played. So some of them make total sense. Like doing Wesker's voice to play Resident Evil makes total sense. You know, but if I could do a pretty decent Adam Sandler, but what game do you play with Adam Sandler's voice? You know, so if they do a Hotel Transylvania game, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm just now getting into doing some Steam games. I'm working on getting a gaming laptop because currently the laptop that I used to use for editing with, it broke on me, and it's fine. It was like 6-7 years old, so it finally fell apart on me. So I'm using my wife's. The one I'm using right now is my wife's laptop, and it is not made for games at all. I tried to do my buddy Wes from Smosh Games and I were going to doing a collab on a new game that is not released yet on Steam, and apparently the guys who made the game are fans of mine. They're like, hey, we'll give you these free codes. Go play this game and do videos. Tell us what you think, whatever. So we tried, but this computer couldn't handle it. So I don't know. I'm not a millionaire yet, so I don't have money I can just drop on a $2,000 rig. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking maybe doing a Kickstarter and doing, you know, recordings or autographs or video stuff for people if they help me out for getting a gaming laptop, since it would be for making more videos for them to watch. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, you don't have to necessarily tell them you're getting a laptop. I mean, you can just be like, help me buy gear for videos. Here are things that you'll get.
That's literally all I need is a computer, which is specifically needs to be able to handle editing and recording gameplay while playing the actual game, and that requires a lot of processing power. I would build my own custom rig. I used to build PCs back a decade or so ago, but I'm actually surprised technology hasn't really changed that much in the past decade. So everything's fairly much the same. But where would I put a desktop rig? There's just literally no room in the studio for it. Mm-hmm. So it makes more sense to have a laptop because I can not only play the games and make the videos with that, but I can also edit my other stuff, my audio and video stuff on it.
Now
that's my next project.
You said that you do. I mean, you would think about doing the Kickstarter and recording things for people, but you already do some of that, right?
Well, I used to just donate, do stuff for free because I never wanted to be that guy that's just too, you know, mm-hmm. It's always unavailable or just ignores fans. I tend to reply to, and sometimes I'll even troll the Honest Trailers comments and just see if anybody asks me a question or something, I'll answer it. You know, I have no problem with that if I've got the free time to do it. And so I always answer my messages from my public Facebook page. That's facebook.com/JohnBaileyVO, which is where you can follow me. I tend not to accept friend requests from people I don't really know because I don't like having 300 likes. In fact, that my kid lost a tooth. That's none of their business.
Right.
But yeah, so my public page, I post things that I've worked on, projects that are coming up, funny little things that I found on the internet, like the spider today that they found is the size of a puppy. That was creepy.
Let's not talk about that.
My God.
Not okay.
Was that? Can someone please confirm that's a fake?
Yeah, no joke, man.
No, that's actually the Goliath spider is that they can get that big.
Burn it with fire.
They can get as big as a child's forearm, which is about a foot across. They're actually considered a delicacy in that country, too.
What?
I've seen the Discovery show where they flip the thing upside down on top of a fire, pop it like popcorn, crack that sucker open, dig in, yum, yum, yum.
Stop it.
At least they don't bite them and suck their insides out like what spiders do to other things.
That's true. But if I saw one that big, I would be afraid that would happen to me.
Give me a straw. They just break his own tooth off and just suck out use his tooth like a straw.
I'm getting so many bad visuals.
So I tend to just be available for everybody, and I used to just do stuff for free, but I got so busy that I just felt like it was unfair to me to sacrifice my only free time every day where I actually use to try to do this YouTube stuff and to unwind and actually do things I like to do, which is watch old crappy movies on Netflix and make fun of them. That's, you know, hobbies that I like to take. I like to do stuff on my own. I do have a little bit of a life. So I came up with the idea of to use when the company Fiverr came out, they made a website where you can literally sell things for as little or as, you know, you can sell for things for more, but every job starts off at $5. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, this is a way where everybody can win. You can get, because everybody's like, well, I don't have any money. Well, surely you've got $5. You know, anybody's got $5 they can come up with. Mm-hmm. So I record things under 30 seconds and nothing, because I've had people try to give me real jobs before. I'm like, no, I'm not doing a $1,600 job for $5. But if it's, you know, hey, I'm getting married, can you do this intro for my wedding reception? Or if it's, hey, my kid has a birthday, can you do Optimus Prime saying happy birthday to him? You know, it's $5. It's under 30 seconds. I'll get the audio back to him within 24 hours or so. And I take that money and donate it towards charity. That way everybody wins. It's going to a good, it's going to Autism Society of America. They get their audio, and I don't have to do it for free and feel like I'm wasting my, my only free time. I'm doing something for a good cause. So literally everybody involved wins.
That's awesome. And you still do that?
Yeah, I still do that. Fiverr has two R's, fiverr.com/JB voiceover.
Awesome. 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 Now, before we left, we wanted to do something kind of fun. Doug has always sworn to me on the, he's said it multiple times on the show that he thinks that he could have a career.
I've not, those are not words I've said.
I'm pretty sure those are words you said.
You gotta own it, bro.
No, I've just said it, it's something that I would like to do, like pursue, but not necessarily, I don't think I could make a career out of it. Not after listening and talking to you, there is no fucking way in hell that I have a shot.
I will say this, I didn't know how rare it was because I didn't have anybody to compare myself to. Mm-hmm. We didn't really get into much of my childhood, so growing up I had no idea you could even make money doing this. And then after I got into it, I thought I was doing a horrible job. I was only booking one or two a month, sometimes three a month, and I was like, man, this is, I should be booking something every day. That's what the mentality is. Mm-hmm, if you want to make a career out of this, you had to book something every day, because I'm so used to, you know, a 9-to-5 job. You get paid every Friday or every Monday or every other Friday. And then going to this where you get paid per job, it's very, very scary, to be honest.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it, you have to have a lot of faith that, you know, because they, these companies, sometimes they take up to 90 business days to pay you. That's the legally required amount of time. So they don't have to pay you early if they don't want to. They can literally wait. 90 business days is a long time when you count those weekends and holidays. So, yeah, you can go quite broke doing this job. And I found out that it's actually very, very rare for somebody to be full-time in this in the voiceover business. It's actually more common for somebody to do it part-time on their spare time while they work another full-time job. That way they can still support themselves or their family or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would have to agree with you. I don't think anybody should go in this with the single-minded idea of, I'm going to be a professional full-time voice actor. Yeah. Try to just to be a professional first and book something. And then right. If you can do it part-time, that's great. If you start doing really, really well, then maybe you have a shot at full-time.
Yeah. And again, it's something that I've always wanted to try. But
Everybody should try it. Voices.com costs like $39 for 1 month, no contract. So you can actually just throw up a free profile, scrap up together some kind of demo, and at least they'll throw you out some auditions. You can give it a shot, and you can see how bad
that sounds,
or how good
that
it is.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah,
I should do that. I'm going to write that down right now.
Well, we'd have it recorded.
Yeah,
he's not going to listen back to this whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Who listens to their own podcast after they get done with it?
That's what we literally talked about this yesterday. I said, who listens back to their own shows? And Jared's like,
I promise you, a week from now, when Doug and he's like, hey, that podcast, I'm like, who are you?
Exactly.
How many of these things I do these days? I don't remember who's who anymore.
Oh, damn.
Whoa.
I'm bad enough with people's names as it is. And when I go to conventions or somebody's like, hey, remember that job I asked you to do 3 years ago in that convention that one time? That's when you turn the actor and say, yeah, sure, I'm Ray. What's up, buddy?
Okay.
I think the only reason you remember my name is that it's at the bottom of the screen right there.
Exactly.
It's right there with a little picture of my face, just so you know that that is me.
Yep. Doug, if it wasn't, it would be glasses and beard. That's how I would call you.
We have got to we got to make this memorable so you remember. So take off your shirt.
Okay. Dang it. Again? Why?
Again?
But then he'd really be like, where does the beard end?
he's got that Superman of Steel thing going. See, Doug looks like what Man of Steel would have looked like if you just had to let the hair keep growing.
That's right.
Just take over the entire body.
Who needs a suit when you have this?
It's hair, man.
Bullets bounce off of him.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More disgusting than a group full of Russians.
Although it does cut down on my fly time. There's a lot of air, like, just too much air resistance.
He's one of those guys that when he goes biking, the beard just doesn't stay.
Oh, man. It's a pain when you're, like, driving with the windows down because it's just like...
Yeah, at least it's not made out of pubic hair like in Jackass.
That's true. That was the grossest
thing I've ever seen him do. I literally gagged in that one.
Yeah. Ha,
ha. He's one like, what does it smell?
Like, oh, yeah, and it's in his mouth.
<I know. laughs> He's like, the last sound
a pubic hair ever makes.
Oh God. Okay.
Well, so Jeremy's back on a giggle fest, so this will last 5 minutes.
Round one.
Okay, voice. So back to the contest.
Do you have something written down for? Or are you just gonna?
No, we have something. There's something. Oh,
okay.
Down.
Okay.
So Doug, do you have it on your notes?
Yep.
Okay. Good.
All right. I've got it. We're gonna do this as for real criticism, then you need to copy and paste this into the chat so I can see if you fuck up.
Okay. Here we go.
So we're gonna fuck up.
There we go.
There it is.
Oh, it's in the chat.
Now the pressure's on because somebody's paying attention.
Yeah, a professional. See, right now, all my dreams are going to get crushed real quick. It's one thing when we do this on the show just for fun and shits and giggles. It's another when he puts my dreams on the line.
It's what I do. There's not... Listen.
World about to end.
There's not many chances I get to do this to Doug, so this is good.
This is the worst.
It's like your gut is just turning over, isn't it?
Well, because one, you've written it in something that, in a world, when we just had someone who literally does this for a living.
This is how it happens, man.
Like, I can't match it. It's too good.
Yeah, but that's the thing is you don't have to match it. There's a lot of voices out there that do this type of work. In fact, I don't know if you've heard the promos for, what's the show? Wilfred. Have you heard the promos for Wilfred on FX? Mm-mm. It's literally a guy going, Wilfred. This Sunday on FX. I'm like, wow, he can get a job. Anybody can.
Oh, is it not Wilfred doing that? I just assumed it was.
No, it's actually he's with my manager and he's booking shows just doing his own natural boring voice going, Wilfred on FX. I'm like, I've been doing it wrong all this time.
Yeah. Dude, just hire me to talk like I normally talk.
And then you got Townsend Coleman, who was the voice of, I think he was the voice of the Tick or something. He sounds like the Tick. He's done a lot of, he's actually one of the original Ninja Turtles. You hear him all the time on ABC Family.
Pretty Little Liars on ABC Family.
And he's like, that's a movie Chandler voice? Okay. You know, you never know what they might use. They've even got female voices out there doing trailer stuff now, so.
It sounds just like yours. It's insane. No one would ever know.
Yeah. She's had some hormone therapy.
My name is Vanessa.
That's her natural voice. She doesn't put that on.
One lifetime, two lesbians and a baby.
Oh.
I'm glad you're going first, Doug.
Yeah, you're the worst. Because if I completely fuck this up, then he's smooth sailing over there. So it doesn't matter.
I don't know. The intro did not turn out so well.
Let's not talk about that, okay?
Yeah, that's right. You already fucked up.
Honest. I'm the honest trailer guy. I have to be honest.
I need some more drink.
Do you want to maybe
just deny the bank loan?
Do you want some vodka or something or?
No, this is just straight water.
If it helps at all, whenever they give me a script, I literally have a couple of seconds to get it recorded and get it back to them.
Oh, so are you serious?
Talk about pressure.
Wow.
Oh, Jesus.
And I've been on the line with some major, major directors from Sony and NBC and. So, yeah, talking about being nervous. One time they wanted me to do Vin Diesel's voice, which I didn't think I did at all. And when I got on there, he's like, I got to say, I really appreciate you doing this. Everybody else was too scared to try. They literally turned us down before they even gave it a shot. Wow.
I wouldn't even know off the top of my head how to even do a Vin Diesel like voice. Like,
well, the closest thing I can do for Vin Diesel is,
I am Groot.
Is that what you did? You actually went and did that's what you did.
I forget what movie we were working on. I think it was one of the Fast movies. It was Pitch Black. It was the last Pitch Black movie, and I gave it a shot. I didn't get it, but I gave it a shot. And he's like, he told me at the end, he's like, actually that was really good, but I don't know.
But not
they
good enough.
Somebody else, or they got Vin Diesel. You never know. I can't complain if they get the actual actor to replace the line. So I mean.
Yeah,
who's better than that person
that'd be really funny if they actually did get the person and they still went with someone else.
That happened with Harrison Ford. They replaced me with Harrison Ford for Harrison Ford, and then they ended up using me for Harrison Ford, so I was like, I was better at Harrison Ford than Harrison Ford was Harrison Ford.
I am Harrison Ford.
Get off my mic. give me some weed.
It's great when I guess I wasn't looking at my camera or my computer, so just to hear that in my headphones. That's perfect.
All right, Doug, you got this. I'm going to build you up, man. You're the best. You're the greatest.
You have some music playing.
Yeah, no, I wish I had some epic music.
Do the Flair song. Dun, 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 dun.
Should we just do it with our voices? Or?
In a world when only two men were left standing, comes a third man who wasn't standing, but was laying down. Now, three men set out on an epic quest to find a woman. They will have to fight the odds to be the one who impregnates her and becomes the alpha male. This summer, John Bailey, Doug MacDonald, and Jeremy Jones star in Alpha Male.
Now, okay.
All right, Jeremy.
Now I don't want to do it.
No.
Can we? You win.
Okay.
I'll reserve judgment till I've heard you both.
All right. Okay.
Don't cry. It's okay.
Okay. It's embarrassing. Listen, we're just amateurs, Doug. We're good, okay?
That's right.
This is for fun. It's not like we're trying to replace him for his job.
I don't.
I don't feel threatened at all so far.
Oh, Jesus.
Now I don't want to go. Holy shit.
Jeremy, you did this to yourself.
I know.
You asshole. All right.
In a world when two men were left standing, comes a third man who wasn't standing, but was laying down. Now three men set out on an epic quest to find a woman. They will have to fight the odds to be the one who impregnates her and become the alpha male. This summer, John Bailey, Doug MacDonald, and Jeremy Jones star in Alpha Male.
All right, so between the two of you, Doug screwed up a lot less.
Yeah.
He only said becomes instead of become.
Okay.
And my only other criticism would be that it didn't sound very natural. The pacing has to have kind of a smooth flow to it, especially when you have words that are common movie trailer words like now. Mm-hmm. You have to give it a little more emphasis, like now three men. You know, you were like now three men.
It could be a little bit of the nerves too.
Yeah, that's possible. I mean, that's possible. But you know, I have nerves every time I get up there to do this. Jeremy, on the other hand, he was messing up through the whole thing.
I don't know, and man. That's his voice.
He wrote it.
Your voice was very pinched as well. You sounded like the original Honest Trailer's voice. Like you found like an old smoker lady or something. You know, whatever. In a world where whatever, you know, something happened or whatever.
In a world
when only two schmucks were standing on the corner, I was like, "Hey, I'm walking here." So, yeah. But if you want us to know how it would sound if I did it, it would be...
In a world when only two men were left standing, comes a third man who wasn't standing, but was laying down. Now, three men set out on an epic quest to find a woman. They will have to fight the odds to be the one who impregnates her and become the alpha male. This summer, John Bailey, Doug MacDonald, and Jeremy Jones star in Alpha Male. Rated PG-13, starts Friday in theaters everywhere.
That's how it's done.
Yeah, then
you know what? I still think I did a better job.
But I mean, what I would say, those for people who really did want to do this for a living, is to not to try to do that movie trailer voice.
Right.
Is to work on their own particular voice. Like, you know, Doug's got a really deep voice. He actually could, you know, work on that and have something that would be marketable and you could make money with. Because the first thing that people would say, whereas Jeremy, yeah. I could see if Jeremy was into doing voice acting, I would see him doing more commercial work because he has that. Every spec I get almost says guy next door, average common guy, male 20 to 30. He's got that everyday guy voice that would be perfect for doing commercial type work.
I think he could also do an audio replacement for Seth Rogen.
That's true. He probably could. I could definitely see that.
Stop it.
Dude, my printer. Chicken fries.
I actually met Seth Rogen, the stand-in, this year at L.A. and he looked just like him, and he actually sounded a little bit
like him. I bet you he plays that up a lot. He's like,
I was like, dude, you look just like Seth Rogen. That's pretty awesome, brother.
But yeah, the people's natural tendency when it comes to movie trailer voice is to automatically try to sound like that voice. That
right.
voice.
Right. Type thing. It's so famous. And how do you not
there is,
go to
there
that
is no
default,
one guy anymore. You know? It used to be Don LaFontaine was the voice. He was the guy who did all the movie trailer stuff.
There
and
was
every
a...
other movie trailer sounded like him if it wasn't him.
Yeah.
But it's so diverse now because now you've got guys that, like ones I'm working on current now, the, I can't think of it off the top of my head. I just worked on it. Crap. I'll have to look it up now. It's from Evil, I think it was. No, what, when you, what's, about sleeping? Nicole Kidman? What is it?
Oh,
before I go to sleep. So, like, the current voice on Before I Go to Sleep is Before I Go to Sleep, rated R. And it's very, very subtle and toned. It's not that epic sounding voice. And then you have Ashton Smith. If you didn't know, Ashton Smith is the guy you hear on a lot of the big action movie trailers. So X-Men, Days of Future Past. The way you can tell it's him is at the end of every sentence, he goes down like this.
Huh. Yeah.
X-Men Unite. Well, there was X-Men on Blu-ray and DVD.
There was a long time after Don passed in 2008 that there just wasn't like that epic sound.
Yeah, I think out of respect, the business kind of stopped using that voice for a while.
Yeah.
Man, I went to this movie camp when I was in like 7th grade, and it was like they taught you how to like make movies, write movies, film them, do all of this stuff, and he came and actually talked to us.
That's
this
awesome.
Was like 1999, 98 maybe. It was epic as shit. Because he doesn't, you know, it's kind of like talking with you, where it's like he doesn't sound like that naturally, so he's, you're talking, you know, what am I, 12, 11-year-old kid, like, who is this dude? And then he breaks out into the voice, and you hear him do the movie voice, and it was like, holy crap.
That's got to be an experience.
It was awesome. It was really cool. I don't know how they got him to come to this stupid little camp, but...
That's awesome. I think everybody should have a chance or get to know anybody, you know, like him, because of what he brought to
I wanted to meet him in person. I've met a lot of my favorite voice actors and including movie trailer guys. Paul Pape, Joe Cipriano is the voice of CBS. I even asked him when I met him, I was like, when are you guys gonna do a tribute to Don LaFontaine and do a new Five Guys in a Limo sketch? And get, you know, five new movie trailer guys out there to do, you know, to reenact that famous video. And he's like, you know what? We've actually talked about doing that. That would be great, really cool to do. But anyways, my better half says I can't play with you guys anymore. So I'm going to go now.
This has gone on for a long time. So we were going to wrap it up. But thanks a lot, better half.
I totally understand. Like I said, my time is limited. I've been constantly scoping to make sure that no emails have popped
up.
No,
we really appreciate the time that that you gave us here, and it's been awesome.
My pleasure.
It's been great. Hopefully,
anytime, random guys, I won't remember next week.
Oh
God!
I've already put you as a reference though for voice acting thing.
It wouldn't be the first time somebody I didn't really know very well was like, "Hey, John Bailey highly recommended me."
Yeah, he said I have a marketable deep voice that I need to work on,
and he said that I sound like just a normal, boring guy. So, all right, Some everybody.
Man is a compliment.
All right, everybody, check out John Bailey's YouTube page. It is John3PNTO3.
Oh,
God. Okay.
Where's the extra three coming from? Jeez, you're not even on script and you're messing up.
I got to go.
3PNT0 or John 3.0.
I got to get going. This has been terrible for me.
And as always, don't forget to subscribe.
Yeah, thank you so much, John. It's been a pleasure. I hope that you have a wonderful evening with your significant other.
Yeah, my pleasure. And if anybody has stuck it out this long, if all three of you who listen to the show, including the two guys that are on it,
I've
proven I don't listen to the show, so
I'll listen.
You guys familiar with the Aurelnauts who did the Star Wars Episode 4 ending scene without the music and how awkward it was? It was a big viral hit about a week or so ago.
No, I didn't watch that yet.
It was a great big video. Apparently, they're gaining a lot of traction with their videos, and I'm going to be in their upcoming video, possibly some future videos as well.
Sweet.
So they'll be doing one coming out, I think, this coming week. Pretty sure. So I do a couple of voices for that, which is awesome. If you haven't checked out Aurelnauts, you should, because that video is hilarious. The one with the episode 4 without the music. It's pretty awesome.
Awesome. Well,
anyways, and always you can hear my voice on Honest Trailers. You can see me in the break pranks. You can hear me on the Honest Game Trailers over on Smosh Games. You can also hear me in several digital shorts on Fox ADHD's channel. It's their Adult Swim block, their digital stuff.
I did Winnie the Pooh as well as some other voices for them. Sweet. So, you never know.
And John,
I'm too busy getting stuck in Rabbit's honeypot.
John, you'll remember us because every video you post from now on, Doug and I will go back and just comment on it and say, hey, we're still here.
And a week later, me like, why are these two guys stalking me on YouTube? I don't know. Who are they?
All right, John, thanks so much, man, and we appreciate it.
All right, one more thing before I go, because I know you'll use it later on when you record this back.
The8bitgeek.com.
Hey, now you got a freebie.
Oh. We're gonna, both of us are gonna go and donate $5 to Autism Awareness.
That we will
do. That's much appreciated.
All righty, man. All right. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
You too.